Welcome, listeners. I'm Gail Sinclair with Steps to Manage, the show that reminds you not to let your body get in the way of your life and to remember that you are worthy just the way you are. Today, we are so fortunate to have Marilyn Redman with us, and she is amazing. It would be easier to tell you what she hasn't done in her life rather than to tell you everything that she has done. So here we go. Marilyn was recently inducted into Who's Who for Professionals and Executives for her innovative and pioneering work in restoring traumatic lives, healing emotional causes of illness, and releasing negative energy. She offers tools and solutions to encourage happiness and transformation, and with hope, love, and vision, each client can create a better world. So our world needs Marilyn, as most of us who live on this planet today, we've had some traumatic event in our lives, and we need powerful women to help remind us that we are worthy and to release the negative energy that these traumatic events may have caused. So I'll get back to telling you more about Marilyn, but I know what we really want to do right now is to hear from Marilyn. So I just thank you, Marilyn, for speaking with us today and giving us the gift of your time.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, of course.
And your introduction was very generous. And I really enjoy helping people learn that there are ways to restore their lives no matter what the problems have been in the past. We don't have to stay there. We have choice to move out and have the wonderful life we always have dreamed of.
Yes, we do. And we're glad you're helping us with that and showing us how. And Marilyn knows in our past conversations that I was anorexic for 20 years. And I went through an eating disorder program, and I had 3 years of therapy. And while I was in the program, we worked through the 12-step program because this disease, seemed to be the same as an addiction, had some of the same characteristics. And so I'd ask you, Marilyn, with your background as a registered counselor and the fact also that we know you understand the dynamics and the root causes of disease, addiction, and certainly mental illness, do you think that anorexia is a simple process to reverse, or does recovery always have to take a long time?
Well, that's a really good question. In the past, people have gone through the 12 steps, which I have myself, and gone for talk therapy. It just so happens that when I was in the middle of the process myself, I had spent at that point over $100,000 and over 10 years trying to get my health together and prayed for God to reveal to me something that would be more efficient, more effective, and cheaper. And I believe my prayer was answered. I really believe today that I have found the dynamics of what's going on in our inner system and understanding how to put that together in a way that is quicker, less expensive, and very effective. In fact, I do regression a lot of times to help people with this. And I just had a lady show up last week who wanted to do a past life regression, and I was just talking with her earlier this morning, and she says, I never realized in such a short time I could have such a shift of perception and energy, and it's just not part of what's going on with me today. And this is like a week later. So yes, we can do it quicker today.
So we might have some people who are listening to our call today who don't know what regression is or past life regression, because they may just be going down a very traditional, stay in this program, it's going to take you months or years. And like a doctor that I had, it was my second day in the program, he was an MD, PhD, and he told me to my face, he said, you will never get better. Anorexia is a disease, you can't get over it, you will have to focus on it for the rest of your life. You know, you'll be doing body scanning and checking to see where you are every single day. And that actually can take up a whole lot of your life and waste a lot of it. So if you could let our folks know what the regression is, please.
Well, I was told the same thing with my bipolar, and I'm no longer bipolar, declared sane, and I'm no longer on medication. So medical people do not look at the root cause of the situation. They look at the symptoms. And when we look at the whole total person, I'm a holistic counseling practitioner today. With clients, I speak and write about this. And when we look at the whole person and deal with where is the origin of the problem, where's the root cause, doctors tend to look at the symptoms, and that's why they say you'll have it forever, because they don't see symptoms change. But if you change the cause, you're going to change the effect. And by going into seeing your old memories, past lives are just old memories that have been suppressed. They can be childhood memories. They can go beyond that. And whatever the memory that started the condition can be transformed in an altered state. So it can also be done in meditation. This is scientifically proven today. What I'm doing is scientifically based. And so it is not off the wall like some people might think. There is a lot of scientific data that when you raise your consciousness, you move into a more reality of seeing perceptions from a new viewpoint, and your whole life can change. And that's what we're doing, is giving you a new perception rather than the fear-based conditioning that we've had from society, our parents, schools, all the different places that affect us, our peers. I had a girlfriend who had anorexia, and you know, peer pressure can be, in their case, let's go on a diet. And in her, she just went on, the anorexia took over on her dieting.
And just keep going and going and going on the diet. Yeah.
And so, you know, and Hollywood does a big thing of promoting glamour. Mm-hmm. You know, you're beautiful if you're thin and voluptuous and gorgeous. And you know, so many of those people are not really the best models for
right.
us, because they already have difficult lives, and that's why the tabloids get so rich off of their lives.
Yes, yes.
And modeling, you know, the modeling profession, and you look through the magazines, and they're airbrushed to look perfect, and then you think, well, nobody's going to love me if I don't look perfect.
Yeah.
And so you're looking at it all from an outside, what other people view you as, and then you take that in and think that's what's real, rather than looking at yourself and saying, oh, maybe I'm not really being true to myself, I'm not listening to the love inside that's really there. Because anorexia is really, good looks has nothing to do with your body, and it has everything to do with your mind.
Yes.
So when you can change your thinking, you know, if you choose the good ones, then you can change your life. So that's what medicine doesn't address, is the emotional, mental, spiritual aspects of the person's living, and so that you have more than just this one medical way to handle it.
Right. And when you were talking about the past life regressions, my husband and I, we had signed up for a series of classes this year done by the Linus Pauling Association. And so this was Fritjof Capra who was talking. All of the people who were speaking, they are just, for most of us, they're light years ahead of us in their scientific knowledge and the breakthroughs that they've made. But every single one of them, the further they've gotten into this process, they're very God-connected, because what they're finding is all of this stuff that people used to say was woo-woo and working with energy and getting to the depth and the core of us in these non-traditional medicine ways, they're finding that just they can measure them. Just like you were saying, they can measure that energy. They can measure things on the scale. And things that so long ago we were saying weren't real, we now have absolute proof that they are real.
Well, that's true. And I applaud your program, and I applaud what you're doing, because people need to still hear that. It's still not really the mainstream.
Right.
In fact, I just got in the mail today. I'm just disappointed that our state is trying to eliminate people who work in this area legally.
Yeah.
Stop us from actually practicing. And so, for various reasons. And people can be threatened by this if they don't understand. Fear is just the lack of knowledge. And when we can help and educate more and more people to this is a solution that works. It's effective, it's real, and it doesn't have to take forever. And we really can raise ourselves into the life that is like a heaven on earth, because anorexia is hell on earth.
Yes. Yeah.
And we have a choice to change the influences in our lives and start paying attention to ourselves. And, you know, Edgar Cayce, who was the greatest psychic of the 20th century, gave health readings that are all validated in his foundation at Virginia Beach. And his comment is, mind is the builder. And when you can look at what is the influences in your mind and change that negative, those toxic ideas, the fear of the self, all those things that build disease, which is like a lack of control, and we can come into being at ease and having control in our lives.
Yes, Yeah. Well, let's stay focus a little more on those external influences, and then also talk about the inner influences. Now, one of the things that I have my clients do, I like to tell them to just go to the store and buy five, and I'm saying this in quotes, you can't see it, but beauty magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want them to make themselves a poster from everything that they cut out of there. And what we almost always find, each poster validates this, that it's okay to have really thick eyelashes and really thick hair and really thick lips and really thick breasts, all very, very important. And on top of that, we need to have curves, but our abdomen needs to be really flat and our thighs need to be really thin. So we have the influences when you're standing and buying food. We have the outside influences of family. We have history, just on and on. Will you tell us, like, if you could only give us one step today, those of us listening, what's the best strengthener we could do to stop ourselves from some of those outside influences? And then just talk about the outside influences for a while.
Well, it's easier said than done, mm-hmm. but to learn to love yourself and to not listen to the people outside of there. In fact, it almost killed me listening to the criticisms in my family, and I wasn't good enough and pretty enough and etc., and to start loving myself and not judge and make myself in competition with others, that this is the way I am, I'm just the way I'm meant to be, and I'm loved no matter what. And it's really needing to overcome the self-hatred. We look outside of ourselves thinking that if we're like that, we'll be loved, instead of looking inside of ourselves and seeing we already are loved by that higher power, God, or whatever term and label we choose to put on that higher power that actually created us, and that we were created in perfection, and we don't have to look like those magazine covers, because we are already, just the way we are, wonderful, wonderful people.
And how do you step into that, Marilyn, when you're in even if, let's say, you haven't moved into anorexia because you don't have the genetic makeup for it, but you absolutely hate your body? What is the trigger? How do we move from that space?
Well, that is a very touchy subject, because so many people have to get to a space where it is a live or die choice. And are you willing to die to be thin?
Yes.
You know, or are you willing to live and be happy? And when you get to the choice, in my case, I had to make, in addictions, the choice to live or die.
Mm-hmm.
I was the walking dead, because I was looking to everybody else outside of myself. And when you start being open up to say, I really don't want to die, please help me, the answers will come. I had to quit listening to what everybody else had for ideas and start paying attention to what worked. And the 12-step programs definitely was the biggest support in my system to actually come into a place to start to understand. I was living my life what my mother wanted. She was living through me. And I didn't have my own life. So when we come into being true to ourselves and being ourselves, it doesn't matter what's around us, because we can relax and just enjoy.
Now, I like that, we can relax and enjoy, because one of the things that we are not doing is, when we're so focused on, am I thin enough? Am I enough? Am I worthy? It's so much of this comes down to, you know, feeling not worthy. That is a very difficult place to relax.
Well, you know, one of the things I like about doing holistic health is, not only do I do regression work with people, but I have them use flower essences.
Mm.
And flower essences provide that boost. I call them vitamins for the soul. It provides high energy, pure energy. It's the exact opposite of medications. Medications are low, poisonous substances, toxic, that we put in our systems. And flower essences are the energy level of that flower, and you take it as a little drop, take them four times a day, and you use affirmations to support it, and it literally will help release that negative emotion, the negative energy, the negative messages, because you are automatically replacing them with the positive affirmations as you take them. And you literally can release those old messages and energy. And I'm also learning Qigong right now, and that's another way to release the stuck energy in our systems. So there are things we can do to support ourselves when we once make the choice, I don't choose to die to be loved.
Yes.
I want to live, and there are living tools that we can learn, and there's so many ways to work with ourselves and to accepting that we're healthy, vulnerable people, and that's safe in the world and open up to the world. And basically it comes down to teaching ourselves how to trust and have faith in the universe, not other people. We, as little kids, you need parents to feed you and have a house to live in and get your clothes. But as we grow up, we need to do that, be responsible for our own lives.
Yes. Yeah, and one thing I recommend, too, when we're talking about the outer influences is to take a really good inventory of your friends and look and see, can you fully be yourself with every friend that you're with? You know, if you're having to withhold or hold things back, or are they only in your circle of friends, let's say they have been for 5 or 10 years because they, too, were supporting your anorexia and you were supporting their anorexia, and there comes time that we just need to purge, not only, you know, it's like going in and cleaning your closets and you just feel better. We need to clean our outer influences very much. We need to do some purging. And, boy, you want to talk about opening a space to think differently.
Well, and when you open that space, you allow the love to come in.
Yes, you
and
do.
Replace what you were thinking before. And the loving thoughts will then bring you through into being the real you and being yourself. I love what you said about being yourself, because that's really, when you love yourself, not only on the outside, but on the inside, you become authentic.
Yes, yes.
And that's exactly what the book is I'm writing right now. Mm-hmm. It's called Secrets to Life and Living, Let the Real You Out.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And when you let that real you out, you are being true to yourself, and you are living life. I was the Walking Dead for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a joy. In fact, I was talking with somebody about that this morning. You know, we accept life the way it is and enjoy. One of my current affirmations is, I am in joy no matter what the circumstances. And for me, that is a real step from
yes.
where I came from.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's like I've been working, I have 4 children, and working with them, and they're all young adults now, that to remember, this has nothing to do with you. This has nothing to do with you. That person, what they're saying, what their behavior is. Come on, stand strong. This has nothing to do with you. You just happened to be there, and they were talking to you. But you know this has nothing to do with you. And these are the things that help us stand strong when we're having these outside influences.
Well, I think it's real important for people, and what you're saying is true, is to learn we're not a mistake. We can make mistakes, but we're not a mistake.
Oh, that's gorgeous. And we can make mistakes. So then what we're doing, and for most people who have anorexia, most of them, it's a very, very high percentage. It's been studied. It's about 98%. For most of us who have had or have anorexia, we are absolute perfectionists and type A's to a really damaging level. So you know what? I can just speak for myself, it used to not be okay to make a mistake in any way. And now what I do is, I made that mistake. Let me learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
And not beat myself up and not keep repeating it over and over again. And so with that, Marilyn, let's move into our inner influences. How can our inner influences affect a person with anorexia? Talk more about what the inner influence is, but I can just tell you for myself, that inner influence, which was me, there were others also, but that inner critic, that even when I first started with, oh, I made a mistake, it's just simply a mistake, everyone makes mistakes, move on, learn from it, my memory would keep holding it, and then I would berate myself with it.
Well, it's, again, you know, being in a support group, and when you go and you talk, I was at a support group yesterday, and I shared about it. As you mentioned, changing all your friends and people around you, I've changed everybody, but into my life, after all that change came somebody. It was very difficult to be around on July 4th, and I was still having a little bit of a leftover on that. And so I'm sharing about that at the meeting, and then the other person comes in with the positive way to handle it and deal with it and to move on past it and let it just, you know, that happened, but I don't have to stay there now.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you hear other people saying how they did it in their experience. It seems to just put yourself into a piece of being accepting and open to making the shifts yourself. It's kind of like, well, if they did it, I can do it. And that, to me, has been a huge boon, is to be having the freedom. And you talk about the inner part, having the freedom to express yourself. I was also an excellent perfectionist. I was on the verge of anorexia at one point in my life, but alcoholism seemed to have a, and codependency took over. But the point was that I never was allowed to express myself, so I never had a chance for that energy to leave, and that's exactly what it's all about. You talked about purging. It's purging the inside of the negativity of those feelings that have never flowed in our lives.
Can you repeat that again, please? That was really purging the inside.
Energy that has never been allowed to flow in our lives.
Yeah.
And that negative energy is stuck in there. That's where the flower essences come in, and that's where affirmations are valuable. But you have to go somewhere where it's safe. And you know that no matter what you say, you'll be accepted and loved, and when you walk out the door, you can still be friends. And I didn't have that environment growing up, and it wasn't until I found the various 12-step groups I do go to that I had that safety. Also, I was fortunate to have some counseling and counselors that understood that you just have to talk a lot of stuff out of you and on until you kind of get it finally totally removed, so the point that it's not running your life anymore.
Yeah.
But to have the, to love yourself enough to say it's okay to cry, it's okay not to be, like you say, not to be perfect, it's okay to feel this sorrow or this pain or this anger, it's okay to feel whatever you're feeling because it's only an emotion, energy in motion. That energy has to move. And if you don't express it from the inside out, it won't move out of your system and you won't get well. And that's what disease is.
Yes, yes.
So disease is unexpressed emotion. I'm finished. I have a little arthritis. And, you know, one of the best books that helps with this also, if people are looking for something to read that would give them some great insight, is You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful book. And then she says in there, arthritis is about criticism, and I was definitely raised in a very critical atmosphere, and so that's what I'm doing, is I'm expressing not only to a person I trust, but, you know, we can go into meditation, and that's the same altered state as hypnosis and regression, and when you go into that state, and you can actually ask your higher power to release whatever it is, whatever disease or anorexia or, in this case, arthritis, and ask him to replace it with love and grace. And that's where the transformation happens, is in an altered state, and that's why the work I do is so valuable. I'm actually healing souls.
Yes, and we all need grace, is the word that I really, you know, hear in there. We all need grace and ways to find grace and have a more graceful life.
I believe that takes us into the fourth and fifth dimensions.
Mm.
What happens is we've been living in a three-dimensional world of duality, where this is good, that's bad,
right.
This is right, this is wrong. You know, criticism, judgment, all those things have been controlling our lives. And when we move out of that, because we've finally gotten that out of our systems and we've healed it with God's love, which is, to me, what God's about, love, then we move into that grace where it just is. We just are loving beings. We are spiritual beings having a human human experience. And then we can see our humanness for what it truly is, just lessons in living and how we are moving into more spiritual realms rather than having to stay suppressed in the third dimension of the criticisms and fears.
So let's say that I came to you in an absolute crisis. You know, so many of the crises with anorexics are, I am going to die if I don't start eating. And so I came to you in an absolute crisis. And I see here that you have a successful radio show called Maryland Solutions.
Right. I did have a radio show, and I had a lot of wonderful people on it, mm-hmm. like you're having me today, and I really enjoyed doing it because we need, like I say, we need to educate people so much that this is really information that works.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I just really would enjoy that. Now, if you came to me on a crisis basis...
Right. Be it a call on your show or to come and see you, what would you do with me?
Well, it would be if you came to see me because my show was actually, I interviewed other people about what they've written and their expertise.
Ah, interesting.
So I didn't do quite the same thing as you're
doing,
but just about. In my case, if you came to see me, I would encourage you, first of all, to start using affirmations so you start giving yourself truthful information about yourself. We have been fed so many falsehoods in our lives from schools and churches. So many times, you know, if you don't do this, you're not going to go to heaven. We've been so controlled, and even the medical profession, you know, like you mentioned, you're going to be sick for the rest of your life. Those kinds of thoughts are not truthful. So we need to start looking at truthful information. So I have affirmations I help people with. I have tapes of meditation. I have them go home and use daily. I get flower essences. I would probably start out with... the Bach flowers have rescue remedy, and when you're in crisis, see, when I was in crisis with my disease, I went to the doctor and got Valium and got addicted to it. I would give you flower essences called Remedy Rescue, and it's a healthy, loving energy to help bring you up out of the crisis, not to drug you, and so that you could start to lift out of it and find some calm and peace to settle down and start seeing what is actually going on with you. So it would be a combination of helping you to sort out what the crisis is about and putting some perspective on it,
mm-hmm.
and then giving you supportive tools to go home with so that you have something to fall back on when these things will creep up. The buttons are pushed until we heal them.
Yes.
And that's what doctors don't seem to get either, is that it's going to recreate until you finally get to the solution of what is the real problem.
Right, to the solution, to the source of that. I know one of the things I do with my clients is I have them walk backwards to, we work together in a process to do this, but we bring them back to a memory of where I am, where I knew I am, and I was in my glory, and it may have been at 7 years old. This is who I am, and I love my body, and I love who I am, and we do it with a lot of pictures. And then find that spot where now I'm looking out through my eyes, and my I am is what everyone else said I am supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And just taking them to that spot. Can we find that spot? Can we walk them backwards to where their I am was so glorious and wonderful, and they loved everything about them? I mean, their bodies helped them play and run and had a great time. And then, ooh, what happened that we shifted out and allowed what other people thought about us to be our I am?
Exactly. And I am is one of the most powerful, that's why I like affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
I am, and then I have various things I have written down there to complete that beginning. But I am is the most powerful phrase in the universe other than God. And if you are owning and claiming your true value is what you're helping them to see, then that power is going to lift them up and empower them to see themselves in the view that's real, not what the other people have foisted on them.
Yeah.
Or how they've seen it or interpreted it at the time. And I really recognize what you're doing. That would have been difficult for me because in my situation I had fear in the womb and I never had a childhood that I could go back and see
mm-hmm.
wonderful places. So what you're doing is a wonderful work for people that have had that situation in their lives.
Yeah, and you know, that's where regression comes in is important, though, too, for those who were born into situations where they couldn't find a good spot.
Well, I think in a way it was, at the time I didn't think it was a blessing. But today I know everything is a gift,
I
know that it was the greatest gift because I have a connection with my higher power today that is unbelievable. And in fact, this friend was sharing with me this morning. She says, "Will you say this and this and this?" And she's, and I says, "Yes, That's just kind of how it works for me." And because I God writes through me and speaks through me and gives me all kinds of information, and I know that's where it's coming from today. And it's because I've had to turn complete. When I made my choice to live, I had to totally commit to God only, because people in my past, not one of them could I depend on to be a loving, supportive person for recovery, and all I had was God.
Pretty powerful. Pretty powerful.
And that's exactly what it became. But, you know, to allow that to happen was to realize. In fact, I was one day very, very sick, and several people I was relying on were all gone, and and I laid there very sick with the flu and just very, very miserable. And I said, "God, there's just you and me." And he says, "Oh, you finally figured it out."
And for so many of us, and those who are listening to this, we do reach the point where it's, "I can't do this anymore. I'm not going to out and out take my life, but I am passively going to continue to kill myself because I just can't do this anymore." And we tend to have to reach some breaking point in order to have that door crack open a little bit where others can help us. And I know I had the following experience when I was in the eating disorder program, where we had and it was in a hospital in Portland, Oregon, and we had a minister who came in, and he was a very, very young man, and he came in to play us the guitar and tell us how to get better. And I know that at that time in my life, I was pretty angry, and I didn't have a lot of grace, but I had turned to him, and it turned out I was speaking collectively for the six of us women there. I said, "You know, what would you know about this? You're a young man, you're male, you're playing a guitar, you're a minister. What would you know about this? Have you been through this? Do you have a family member?" And for him, it was just, he just wanted to help. It was part of what he was doing, which was lovely. But it really caused us to think about, why on earth did you bring him in here to speak to us? And I know that, you know, you're pretty well qualified to answer the next question that I'm going to ask you. What with your background as a registered counselor, and you have 3 years of graduate work, and you also understand, you know, the root causes of this disease. We've certainly heard that. So do you think that most counselors or psychologists are qualified to help anorexic patients?
Oh, that's another great question. It depends on what you call qualified. If you're depending on people that have a lot of schooling and degrees with head knowledge, and that's kind of what you're talking about this minister. He wanted to help. He was very conscientious in trying to be there for others, but he really, it was in his head, and it wasn't something he'd experienced, is what you'd already said. So a counselor or a psychologist or whoever you're going to for help, if they've been through the process of recovery themselves, there's something that's like magic happens. You come into a love and compassionate bond with each other, and it's like the healing transfers from the recovered person to the other person, and together you walk through these experiences, and you share your experience, strength, and hope, and it heals the deep wounds of having like minds. I can't tell you exactly all the very basic details scientifically, but there's a change of a transfer of love from one person who has been there helping another person. And it is very comforting to the person being helped, and it brings them to a higher level than where they would have been before. So just having head information isn't necessarily the answer to helping people in these situations. I feel it has to come from the heart, and if a person has been in recovery and has walked through the same fires, there's something that happens when they're helping somebody else that is hard to put your finger on. It's kind of magic that happens, and that's the healing force. I was working, this is an anorexia, but I was working with a domestic violence person because I've been through that and healed it. And she looked at me one day and she says, "I've got to go to the hospital and take these classes for domestic violence because of the money she was living on." But she looked at me and she says, "They don't get it. You do." And so here's a hospital supposedly helping people. And in the newspaper, interestingly enough, a couple of weeks later, a little article, oh, our clients from the domestic violence people are returning 2 and 3 years later. It has to be solved. And I offered to help them, and they still didn't understand there was a difference between head and book knowledge and actually having been there, so that when you're helping people, you're really doing it from a place that is going to touch their heart and soul.
Yeah. I am a Reiki master teacher, and I had a really beautiful opportunity for 6 months to work with hardcore drug addicts. They'd been on heroin for 40 years. They'd been on meth, all kinds of things. And this clinic was smart enough to see that they came in and they saw an MD, they saw a naturopath, they saw an acupuncturist, they were with a naturopathic physician, and then they were with the Reiki folks. And so, and most of us did volunteer work for them, and we would have these, and it was all men, these gentlemen that would come in, they'd be very angry that they were forced into this, crawl up on the table, and we would have three of us so we could give them a full treatment in 15 minutes, so we're on each one-third of the body. And what would happen so often is they'd fall asleep. And what was gorgeous about that is they would wake up and they would say, it's the first time that I have been able to relax in years.
Well, that's exactly what I do with my first session for people, like when you mentioned, what would I do with someone in crisis? I put them through a meditative relaxing regression and a guided meditation, so to speak. And when they come through with that, they come out and saying, oh, that's the most relaxed I've ever been.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is the salesman in itself. When they can see that they can just in a short time actually get into a new state of being, then the door opens and they're open-minded to saying, oh, I want more of this.
Right. And you'll often, too, find yourselves with healers who are not advertised at healers at all, and I've got a girlfriend who was bulimic, and she simply wanted to take voice lessons at a point in her life, and she was about 35 at the time. She goes to take voice lessons, and she's just with this loving, kind man who's the voice teacher, and he puts his hand down on her lower abdomen and says, you need to relax in order to hit that note. She said, I am relaxing, and he pushed, and he just said, how many years have you been holding your abdomen in? And that simple question and the touch, she just started crying. And she was able to realize in that moment a moment of rest, a moment of relaxation, a moment of, for 20-some years, I've hated the way I look, and without even knowing it, I've been holding my abdomen in. And here was this lovely person who came into her life with the title of voice teacher, but knew about breath and knew about body.
Well, breath is, you brought up a very good point, because breath is, our prana comes in through breath and air. And if you have shallow breathing, you know, there's going to be a lot of medical problems come up from that. You have to learn, if you go into meditation, how to breathe accurately so that it's actually filling your body, so that you're getting all the energy, nutrients that are necessary. So meditation can be, or singing in this case, I used to play flute for years and years, and you learn how to breathe from your abdomen and from the muscles moving appropriately in your body, and that is very important for good health.
Yes. You know, I think it's the reason there are breath workers out there now to teach us how to breathe, because we knew when we came into the world that somehow we forgot to wholly breathe. And when you have body image issues, when you've got an eating disorder, you will be absolutely surprised to find out that a large percentage of us were just breathing at the chest. We weren't fully breathing in.
Well, on that way, that was one of the, there were a few guiding things that helped me to survive childhood. And that was learning how to play the flute, because you have to play from, you know, the diaphragm.
Oh, yes.
And so that was a very big blessing in my life, even though my life normally would be, the rest of me was tighter than a string on a violin wound up. But I did learn how to breathe, so that's why I suggest to everybody that that's a very important part
yes.
of it.
Yes, yeah. Well, one thing I want to be sure of is, as we're getting towards the end of our call, is that Marilyn is pursuing her Doctor of Science in Holistic Ministries, and I'm sure you can all hear how important this is to her, but I also want you to know she's a member of the American Counseling Association, the International Board for Regression Therapy, the American Board of Hypnotherapy, and the Association for Research and Enlightenment. So given your background and your practice as a spiritual minister, tell us how you think holistic counseling benefits a person with anorexia or even feeling just really cruddy about the way their body is.
Well, when we're out of balance and we're out of harmony with the universe, then all kinds of dis-ease, difficulties that which we call medical, which are basically, as we already mentioned, emotions that are blocked and not have not been released, but all those things manifest in our lives. And so the beautiful part of holistic counseling is to bring the body into balance and into harmony. And we've talked about various ways of doing that earlier today. So as that occurs, we start to feel better about ourselves. We want to nourish ourselves. You know, what I know about anorexia today is, you know, food is the basic substance of life. Why would you want to deny yourself nourishment? Why would you want to die? What's going on in your life that's so awful that you want to get out completely? And this self-hatred is only a thought. And the thing about holistic health is you can change your thinking. So you can change your thought about what's so terrible about yourself and where maybe the criticism or perfectionism came from, and actually reprogram yourself or reinvent yourself or call it a new lifestyle, whatever, start over, and create the life that you were designed and meant to live. We don't have to die. We are here to enjoy, and the more we enjoy, the better off we are. So it's a process, and when we start to love ourselves and take care of ourselves through our physical well-being in eating appropriately, through our mental frame of mind, which is learning how to be rational in our thinking, because I was, before I came into recovery, very irrational and in fantasy land, and how to emotionally look at our emotions, that our emotions are red flags saying something's wrong if they're negative. And so, okay, I don't have to die because I'm not perfect. It's just a feeling, and the feeling can be changed and shifted. Okay, what do I do to change the feelings? And there's things you can put your focus and attention and behavior on positive things, your feelings will change. So it's that simple to change feelings. We don't have to die with those feelings. Mm-hmm. And that's what the medical profession doesn't address, is our emotional state of being. Yeah. So when you come into the spirituality, which is another word for love, you can say, I'm going to love myself so these old feelings can go. I'm going to have healthy, good thinking about myself. And then guess what? It will manifest in a body that will not have medical problems.
Well, tell us about each time that you've said the word disease. You didn't say disease. You very distinctly made it two syllables and said dis-ease. Tell us why you're saying it that way and what that means to you.
Well, it means to me that most of us, if we need recovery, and the most does need recovery of some sort, we're not comfortable in some part of our life because of whatever lessons that we have designed to learn and have to work through. That is called dis-ease. And what I learned a long time ago is that I wanted to be at ease. Now, the sooner I work on what I'm at dis-ease, the healthier I'm going to become, because if I don't change those emotions and my attitudes and how I handle my life, I will become a person with the disease. The dis-ease becomes disease. And that's where people come in and usually end up at the doctor's office, and sadly they think the only way to solve a problem is with a pill. And in my case, that was turned out not to solve any problems but make it worse. It actually, most medications actually stifle and suppress feelings. And we're talking about, let's release them and change them, and medicines don't allow you to do that. That's when they say, you'll be on this medicine the rest of your life. Well, the side effects were so disastrous. I was told by a friend, get off of it, see what it's doing to you. And I actually turned out to be healthier without the medicine than with it.
It's pretty amazing.
I don't know if I answered the question, but...
Yeah. I mean, that's very amazing, too. And tell us how you came about becoming a holistic minister and counseling, if anybody's interested in the spiritual minister or the holistic counseling, since you've given us a lot of the benefits that you feel are benefits with doing this and working with not only our bodies, but our mind and our soul and our spirit. And how'd you come about that or get interested in that?
Well, it's really an interesting story. I did not understand any of this when I started out. I'm a person who believes we have angels and guides, mostly because I'm still alive because of angels. I have a book that, and I share in lectures about that. And they put me in front of I went to a program one day that was an Edgar Cayce program, and they stood me in front of this man who said, "Come to my classes in Virginia, and I will teach you how to do past life regression." I didn't even know what a past life was, and I'm standing there ready to give him my deposit, saying, "Am I really wanting to do this? What am I going to? I don't even know what I'm going to." And my guide says, "Just pay him the money, and we'll take care of the rest."
Wow.
And I flew to Virginia and took my first course from Henry Bolduc, who is now retiring, but he is the pioneer of past life regression. And so I was trained through Henry and originally. And because of learning how to do past life regression, I took then regular hypnotherapy, and I saw the connection of being able to use the hypnotherapy. They used it for various superficial things in many cases, and how much more depth could be used to apply it to the soul and the subconscious in healing so many more things than just some of the typical quit smoking, which is and when I did quit smoking was harder than quitting drinking. But so addictions are difficult, but you can apply it to a lot more at a deeper level, which is much more beneficial in healing. So in the meantime, I'm going to 12-step programs, which are spiritual. And in the meantime, I became a spiritual a minister to be able to do spiritual counseling. It just kind of fell together that my clients changed in the nature of who was coming, and I was growing in these classes and learning, and it evolved. It wasn't something I set out to do, but as I got more expertise in new areas of different versions of what I'm explaining, things just kind of fell together, and I have come up now with the book. Of course, I'm writing. This is my second book. My first one was the story of the disaster, and now hopefully these are the tools to come out of that.
And stay out of it.
Yes. That's the
big
key
deal.
Word.
Yeah.
That is the key word, because what I'm finding out, holistic counseling gives you the opportunity to heal it, and it will not recreate.
And that's a benefit. So many of us, we go through our program the first time, and we come out of it, and even though I never had to enter a program again, it really took me a long time not to see a huge, fat person in the mirror. And so that means I was still focused on it. I wasn't completely healed. It was still there.
Well, for some reason, when I had an opportunity, I don't know, one of my affirmations that I started out with on years ago was something about, "I love my body." And it was a wonderful affirmation for me, because as I stood in the mirror one day, and I didn't see the perfect body I wanted either, but I told myself that affirmation, "I love my body." And as I started to learn to tell myself that, I didn't get so focused on what it really looked like as to I just loved it the way it was.
Yeah, and we can talk to our bodies and say things like, "Okay, so maybe those thighs are bigger than you would like them to be. Now walk yourself backwards through your life. What have my thighs done for me? For how many years? What have my arms done for me? Were you a mother? Did you breastfeed your children? What have my breasts done for me?" And you will find so many wonderful things that those separate parts of your body have done for you, and then you can put it all together and that your body has done for you.
Well, you've just hit a really important part of spirituality, and it's called gratitude.
Yes.
When people are grateful for what we have instead of looking for what we want, and are desiring things that might not even be serviceable to us.
Yes.
And just accept and have the gratitude for the gifts we have. I know that that's how I saved myself from a bladder operation. I thought I was going to need one. I started meditating and telling my bladder how much I loved it. Mm-hmm. I didn't want it to part my body. I wanted it to stay there and be healthy and loved, and it was really accepted, and it was, you know, something very important to me, and that it was, you know, I just kept trying to make it feel really loved and nurtured.
Sure.
And literally, I did not have to have the operation.
That's amazing.
But when it came time for a gallbladder operation, I did need it.
Well, sometimes we do.
So, you know, medicine isn't all bad, and I don't want people
absolutely
to think
not.
that I'm bashing it, mm-hmm. because they have a very serviceable position. In many cases, it's absolutely necessary.
Yes. Yeah, I was just listening to one of Andrew Weil's recent CDs, who is an MD but practice natural medicine, and he absolutely says the same thing, that we do need both. It's the reason it's great if we would call this all complementary care, because we can all complement and work with each other. However, we all need to honor all types in doing that.
Well, I think that's really important, is that the more we can come into unity with mm-hmm. each other, rather than saying, I'm right and you're wrong.
Right.
I think that we have a much better, stronger foundation to actually create a whole better health programs available for everybody.
Yes, because we all can, what you're saying today might not work for somebody else because they don't hear that way, and then they would need me or they would need somebody else. But there are so many different ways of listening and learning and being and healing that's why I would love the whole large group of us just all working together and referring back and forth, you know, that it's all helpful. Well, Marilyn, we're getting towards the end of our time, and what I would like to most thank you for, besides the gift of your time, was your honesty, the way that you just told us what really has gone on in your life, and your honesty towards your knowledge of God, and bringing all the person and God together, and how important this all is for you, and that, you know, really amazing. You have so much wisdom, and would you be good enough to let people know how they can get a hold of you, where your website is, if you want them to have an email address and a phone number, so that after they hear this call, they may want to contact you?
Well, I'd love to do that. My web page is angelicasgifts.com. It's one word, angelicasgifts.com. That's because the angels give me these gifts, Angelica's Gifts. And you can email me at marilyn@angelicasgifts.com, marilyn@angelicasgifts.com. My phone number is 253-845-4907. And I'm available and flexible and love to help people with whatever, if they have conferences or lectures or workshops, retreats. I do it all. And I have counseling, and I, of course, do a lot of writing. And there's one thought, since we were talking about anorexia, I'd really like to leave with people, because I think this is so important, and we didn't get a chance to really say this one thing. But as the thoughts come through our heads that are telling us the things that are detrimental to us, and we start to realize we don't have to believe our thoughts and we don't have to listen and act on them, just say, thank you for the information, and then let it pass on as if you heard it, but you don't have to do anything about it.
Oh, perfect, perfect. And in the same way, if that's an external influence saying things to you too, you can also thank them for that statement and move on.
Right.
Yeah.
And just listen to your heart, because your heart will be your guide.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Marilyn. And I hope that by listening to this interview, you've received pieces of wisdom and some steps to help you manage your body image, your eating disorders, your mind, and your spirit. I wish you a gorgeous journey as you reclaim yourself and know that you are worthy just because you're here. So please go to my website at www.stepstomanage.com. That's STEPSTOMANAGE.com, and to listen to other powerful women speaking on how to not let our bodies get in the way of our lives. And if you have a story or know of someone who has successfully moved beyond an eating disorder, or if they had a really negative body image and they've turned that around, please have them email me at Gail, and that's G-A-I-L, gail@stepstomanage.com, and you might end up being interviewed for this show, just as you've heard Marilyn. So thank you again, Marilyn, for being such a shining light as we take this journey together, because we all are in this together. And in heart and spirit, this is Gail Sinclair from Steps to Manage.